Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not eloquent. You know, I didn't get no degrees nowhere. So I'm going to say it again. I want you to understand clearly what I'm saying. I meet almost every day so-called educated, dignified, strong, and upright men of our community, of our color, or skin, or hair. I don't know how we can identify this thing. And when I listen to their language, watch their behavior, I see people who are just so nervous all the time that they're going to do something or say something or act in some way that's going to make the white establishment, so-called white establishment, think that they're not with it. I'm not with your white, so-called white establishment. And I hope you ain't with it. I hope the white man ain't with it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not with it, and I hope the Caucasian is not with it. Because that establishment is a dying establishment. What I look like going around trying to make people think that I'm with the establishment. Now listen, poor brother and sister. Your definition of establishment might not be mine. I don't mean that I'm after destroying order and government and law in the society, but I'm after destroying the artificial mentality and the artificial humanism that is in this society. And this society has executed its desires and judgments from a position of artificial mentality and artificial humanism. The establishment has been wrong. It has been cruel on the innocent people, not because law is bad, not because the Constitution of America is bad, but because the mentality of these people is bad, bad, bad. Many of them want to demand that we not be Muslim, that we make a choice between citizenship and equality in America, make a choice between Islam and what America has to offer. I'm telling you, this is their mind. Now you can have Islam, but have it in name. We don't want you to have it in deed. Don't have it in principle. Don't have it in reality. I don't mind you niggas wearing a bunch of fezzes and wraparound and robes and sandals, but don't you niggas get serious about that religion. Like we their little adopted children, that they had no need for. It was just charity that made them adopt us. But you know we didn't need you now. So you better act right, or we get rid of you. Well, you better stay quiet like you've been for the last few years. Or speaking out won't do nothing but cut you to bits. Time is against this old wicked, hypocritical rule. If the leadership of America had an ounce of social sense, they would be out with me every time I came out of the house. They say, is he coming out? Well, tell him to wait just 5 minutes. We want to put on national TV that he's coming out. Now, why? Why do I say that? Because I'm cleaning up the mess that they don't have the soap, the water, or anything to do it with. And don't know how to do it if you put the soap and water and everything in their hands. They still wouldn't know what to do. And they see what has been done so far. It's a marvelous and miraculous thing. So why don't they just back it? Don't you know there's no way to have peace in America with Bilalians identifying with the church? Now, I know you don't like it, but I'm not here to do and say what you like. I'm here to do and say what's good for you. There's no way to have racial harmony, racial peace, national tranquility with Bilalians belonging to the church and identifying with a Caucasian on a cross. Why is it impossible? Because the source of cruelty, persecution, rejection at the hand of the Caucasian people are too deep. No way to remove them. We can forget them, but the only way we can forget them, we have to see no sign in the society that the Caucasian people still want to be our God and master. And as long as we accept the white Jesus on a cross, there's still a sign in the society that Caucasians accept, that we accept them as our God and our master, and I'm not going for it. Well, Imam, the thoughts you said Christianity was beautiful when you understand it. Well, I'm trying to take out the bad understanding. And a Caucasian for a God is a bad, bad understanding in Christianity. Look how small we are in number. Look how crazy we were in our beliefs. You can't find a Klansman that was more fanatical than we were. But look how intelligently we have acted without the degree, without the cultural background. Look how intelligent we have acted. We have put down our black God and have told the world God has no skin color. God's color is righteousness and truth. Now, if they're not able to follow us and put down their racist God on that cross, God is going to wipe this country right off the map. the very thing that they have used to build up their superiority over the other people of the world is the very thing that is destroying their hope for a brighter future. The idea of God in the image of Caucasian people was a political plot, a political scheme, a political strategy. Europe was growing in power, and they had conceived a great plan to take over the world by using Aryanism, that old ancient Indian white supremacy doctrine, digging it up, bringing it back into the life of their people as a driving force for conquest. The old deceitful, hypocritical, lying Jew who rejected Jesus saw an opportunity to feed this kind of racism in the West and brought them a Christianity that was designed to support white supremacy. But the foolish West didn't know that those old crooked Jews were also bringing them a doctrine that would work as a slow time bomb and would in time destroy the West. The wise old Jew knew that in time the West itself would be destroyed by the very thing that they had handed them as a mighty tool for conquest. And look at the society now. Look at all the Christians are frustrated. We are in a dilemma. Don't know where to go. Don't know whether to back up, go forward, go left, go right, go down or up. They don't know where to go. At a standstill. Ideologically at a standstill. Philosophically at a standstill. Morally at a standstill. Intellectually at a standstill. And politically at a standstill. You can almost sense and feel and see the static, the staleness. In the rule of this so-called Western support, Western society. Look, a president who, I'm telling you, the way that these people were clamoring for him sounded like Jesus was about to go to the throne. He's been in office just 2 or 3 days, and already the people are saying, oh, it's nothing but another fizzle. Isn't that the attitude? That's the attitude. Oh, don't hope for nothing. It's just another fizzle. Excuse my language. I have more hope in President Carter, more faith in his leadership, more faith in America, more faith in America's future and America's leadership than the government of America has. Because I know their problem. I know how come they can't walk like they should. They got on bad shoes.
along. Look, we have made drastic changes over here. And I've heard your rumbling, disgust, mumbling. But I don't waste time with it. Oh, I can't follow that now. They letting devils in there. Now, this is somebody calling them devil that didn't even call them devil before. They were calling them white folks, you know. But as soon as the chief imam opened the doors and said Caucasians can come in, a lot of people that didn't even call white folks devils, I can't back them anymore. I can't support them anymore. They're letting devils in. And they know white folks are devils, too. How can they do that? I heard one sister cry. I broke down and cried. Lord, can't take it. We had hopes in that. You didn't have hopes in that. Unless it was the hope of keeping yourself hid. It was a good blanket for niggas to hide under. Let me repeat. That teaching about the white man being an artificial creation, grafted by Yaku, and all so-called white people being devils, was the biggest excuse that was ever given to niggas so they don't have to do anything but sit around and blame the white man for their shortcomings. Look, don't tell me, I know you. Walking around with your problem book, your 40 questions and answers. With your 14 questions. Yeah, brother. You know the black man is gone. Say, brother, look, I won't get paid until Friday. Can you give me a dollar? Sister, don't you know you the goddess? Say, sister, look, long as the moths don't know what's happening, don't nothing happen, sister. Brother, look, I won't get paid until Friday. Can you give me a dollar? Hey, black sister, don't you know you the goddess? Hey, sister, look, long as the moths don't know what's happening, don't nothing happen, sister. Turn the lights out down real low, you know, and I got black lamp in there. So come on over, sir. LeGard, brother, LeGard. Yes, sir, Mr. Rosenberg. Yes, sir. I forgot it, but I'll get it in just 10 minutes. You just wait right here, Mr. Rosenberg. That's that black God. Let me tell you, the
biggest Uncle Tom niggas that you could find anywhere on the earth was right here in this mob. Tigers. Got the outside, but ain't nothing on the inside. Every week almost, some black brother was getting his head bust in by one of these black guards. Some sister was being abused by one of these black guards. Were bringing in stolen money. Money from bank robbery. Money from dope. And the Council of Scientists they were too ticked and too sissified in all their blackness to stand up in the mouth and say, you niggas ain't representing this blackness. So they sit around and hid, jump in line. When the bad black guard niggas told them to stand up, they stood up. I'm talking about the holy priest class among the black guards. With all their Yaku teaching and everything. 66 trillion and 72 trillion years of history. In about 5 pages. Walking around here and didn't have the parents, didn't have the guts to stand up to a bunch of sissified hoodlums. They didn't know that those other black guards that were carrying pistols and threatening them, they were nothing but a bunch of sissies too. Here. And if lost what belongs here is a sissy. And it don't take nothing but one man to put the sissies in order. Everything Elijah Muhammad did. All praise is due to Allah. What he did was just excite you. To get emotional enough to call yourself black. What he did was excite you to make you emotional enough to call a white man a devil. To leave the church and walk in a new uniform. That's all he did. Thought you said he was a master. That's a master. That is a master. Anytime a man got enough psychological understanding to feed you with emotionalism and get you to leave the thing that you wouldn't leave under the feeding of the greatest lack of wisdom. Black educators, black religious leaders, they all tried to turn you around and let you see that you were walking against yourself. But none of them could do it. Elijah Muhammad did it with emotionalism. with a reverse psychology, he reversed the Christian racism of America and gave it to you in reverse, and it excited you just like it excited the Ku Klux Klan. So look, their Christian racism excites them to be militant, to be daring, to burn crosses. But soon as two or three black men stand up against 20 or 30, those sisters with those crosses and hoods, he heals. Why? Because that's a lie. That's an artificial. What you call it when you hype somebody up with something? An artificial injection, you know. So soon as you meet with cold reality, I don't care how high you are, you come down. And I've seen some awful high black guards telling you, man, they get so black, you look at their face and you can't see it. Face look like a shadow. I ain't joking. I'm giving you a poetic description of a recruit, man. I've seen brothers who got so wrapped up, so deep into thinking that they were God and black was their power. And I don't know what the brother did, but he found some way to make a little brown he had in his black go away. He gets so black, they don't even look black no more. Look empty, like nothing is there. Like you can stick your hand through his face. He has translated himself clean out of reality. Look like you hit him, a bunch of dust will just fall out. Yeah. Black God didn't know that he was using the poison of the Satan or the devil himself. Believing that blackness is your strength and your superiority was picking up this belief in that was the same as picking up the gun of your enemy and taking it and blowing your own brains out. That's exactly what it was. Don't you know the real builders, the planners and builders of racism, of white supremacy? Don't you know that they were happy, they were most gratified when they heard the talk of black people thinking that blackness is God? You heard white people saying they are racist and they are race haters and they shouldn't do that, but you never heard no real segregationists coming out saying anything about it. They liked it. You say that, well, they liked it because it served their purpose of separating the races. Well, you just ain't got enough sense to see a little bit further. They liked it also because it stopped you. America was forced to open up. But if all of you turn black and identify your human being, your human self with blackness, they knew that'd be the end. You ain't got no right to go in a door if you don't recognize the door. They were happy for that. Bunch of black people come into that. The job is done without us raising a finger. We don't have to worry about them now. We're sharing our knowledge with them. Are sharing our wealth with them. We can deny them in the whole world. world will support us. But God didn't intend that it happened that way. The Lord Elijah Muhammad saw that the time was out for his kind of leadership. But before his death, he told you, stop going around here thinking that you're better than other people just because you're black. Then don't think that you can live around here without living in America. Said, go in, mix in, get in business with this. Run for government office. Isn't that what he told you? And in his last speech, he pointed the Caucasians on his stand, on his platform, and said, these are holy men. And told his people that if the Caucasian, or he said white man, I hate to use the term white, because it's a term for white supremacy. He said, you have to respect the Caucasian, the white man. If he can respect you, then you must respect him. If he can treat you decently, then you must treat him decently. Now, that's a far-reaching statement coming from that man. That means if a white man can accept me as his brother, I have to accept him as my brother. You may say, well, I can treat him decently without accepting him as my brother. There's no way to treat him decently if he accepts you as his brother and you don't accept him as your brother. There's no way to treat him decently. If the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say if they can respect you, you respect them. If they can treat you decently, you treat them decently. Saying that puts you on the spot. And if any white man would ask you to be his brother, and you say, no, you're a devil, I don't want to be your brother, he could say, well, you disobeying your leader. Because your leader said, if I can be decent to you, you should be decent to me. If I can respect you, you should respect me. Is that being decent and respectful to call me a devil? He could tell you that. And what excuse would you have? You say, well, you just didn't understand all Elijah Muhammad. Well, you followed a liar. You followed a double-talking hypocrite. If the man didn't mean what he said, he was a liar. If he was doing double talk, he was talking with the tongue of the devil. Well, yes, we've made big changes, and we're going to keep making big changes as long as there's room for big changes to be made. You don't call them devils anymore. I guess you love all white folks. You just like old Martin Luther King. I wish you were just like Martin Luther King. You would be a lot more better off than you are, even though he's dead. He's physically dead. Your attitude makes you spiritually, morally, and mentally dead. And that's worse than just being physically dead. No, I'm the better of you both. I'm not preaching to anybody to go out and start hugging and kissing Caucasians. I wasn't prompted to come out here and tell you that you were supposed to accept all people as human beings by no desire to have you make romantic love with white folks. That's a silly, childish aspiration. That kind of foolishness never came to my mind. We don't need any sexual romance or necking or kissing or hugging or sweet talking or flattering each other. We don't need that. We need a sober, quiet, strong, dignified relationship with Caucasians. What I mean by that, we shouldn't get emotional in this drive that we have to destroy racism in America. We should be intelligent. We should do the job like technicians. Technician don't get all sentimental when he's doing his job. I can shake the Caucasian's hand. I can embrace him as a brother. I can walk with him. I can sit with him. I can pray with him. I can live with him in the same hotel, in the same room, same bedroom. But I don't have to sweet talk him. And he don't have to sweet talk me. In fact, when one starts sweet talking me, I get suspicious of it. Because it's not necessary. It's not necessary. No, I have to say, I always did love black folks. That ain't necessary. God bless you. Keep your damn mouth shut. And I don't have to make no unnatural gestures to prove that I accept Caucasians. Have you seen me treating Caucasians in the audience any different than I treat you? I don't make no extra attempt to show them that I'm really serious, brother Caucasian. I really mean. I mean it when I say that you are my brother. But let a so-called Negro, Christian, make the same turn. And after each meeting, he has to hug and kiss every Caucasian in his audience. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves. And you know, we've been preaching racism and black supremacy. But Jesus has touched my heart. Come up here, my good white brother. Oh, I love you, brother. I wasn't born like you. I was born a Muslim. I never knew what it meant to think with artificial brain. I knew what it meant to have some abnormalities in my brain. But I've never known what it meant to have an artificial brain. So I was just wrestling with the abnormalities. And when I overcome them, I was ready. Lost, found, Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. Now we are the world community of Islam in the West. We can make that change. We don't have to carry around a pretense anymore. See, the old title, nation, was a pretense. Wasn't no nation. Was an outcast people who had isolated themselves and put themselves twice the distance away from the vital operations of the nation we call America by isolating themselves. A people that was used by the society. You know what I'm saying? The society used the lost foundation of Islam. Used us to check other Bilali people. Every time it looked like the Bilalians were going to rush in and get what they want, they would feed the atmosphere with the kinds of things to make the leadership of the Nation of Islam start out again. So we would force them to back up. Played us one against the other. And didn't care what we did in our own private circle, because they knew what we did in our own private circle wouldn't amount to very much. The kinds of activity, the kind of things we were talking about, just had so far to go. How far can you go with a black empire that's the size of an anthill under the Appalachian or under Mount Everest? But don't you know we were so souped up that we actually thought that we were just as bad as the United States? Yeah. Now, we weren't the only ones who were just that high on the black vodka or black wine. The Black Panthers got that high, too. But when they saw all those real, they weren't no visions, man. They went over there and they touched those cold tanks. Those big old, what they call them, M1 or something. Big old rifles and guns that shoot across town. When they went out there and saw that stuff, wasn't no vision, man. They lost that high just like that. The captains and lieutenants looking around said, where are our men? Them niggas done put back on their crosses. I bought them some American flag hats or shirts or something. It's pitiful. It's really pitiful. Now they blaming me. He've lost the empire. They going out of business. Lives are gone, everything going down the drain. You don't know that Elijah left just before the drain was open. The sink was full, and the stopper was ready to be pulled. And Elijah just left just in time to get away from seeing everything go down the drain. Problem had got so bad that it wasn't no way to go but downhill. And anybody that was watching the leadership of Elijah Muhammad for the last 2, 3, or 5 years of his life know that it was going downhill. Crime had come into the community. We were being embarrassed by criminal activity in our community. Men had to go out and stick up banks to get money to pay bills, to pay off mortgage notes, pay off bank notes, to pay taxes. Men of our community had to go out and stick up banks. Had to sell dope to keep a minister sitting on a false throne with some diamonds on his hand and mink and chinchilla. Had made sissies, superfly sissies, out of black Muslims. Look here. You niggas better not tell me anything. I'll come out there and stump you in your face. Meeting in secrecy with your crazy lesson that you don't understand a bit. Talking about the chief doing things wrong, destroying the great nation of Islam, turning us, giving us over to the devil. You were the devil when I took you. I came just in time to exorcise you. If I had come just a year later, I think the devil would have taken you over completely. I couldn't have drove out those devil demons from your soul. They say now, oh, they just lost their morals, everything. Disco parties, drinking, women committing adultery and fornication, brothers doing everything. This is the cleanest house that you have seen in the last 10 or 20 years. I'm talking what I know. People right around my father, peace be on him, was using dope. Scheming and planning how to rob each other. I'm not talking about you who never shook hands with my people who were raised under my father. Using dope. Prostituting the women. Lying, conniving, and doing the same thing that they had accused the Caucasians of doing against us. They were doing those things against themselves. Right here in Chicago, there were sisters wearing long dresses and were out trying to get men to buy their bodies. There were sisters right here in Chicago with long dresses on, trying to be professional prostitutes. All right, I tried to be quiet. I didn't bring it out no more than you forced me to bring it out. Believe me, I haven't brought half of it out yet. If the whole truth was told, you would either walk away, and if you were sincere, you'd walk away and you'd go crazy. Or you would come up here and you'd tell me, man, you got anything that I got, I'm yours for the rest of my life. Yourself to me. If I wanted you to give yourself to me, I would have kept the same thing going that was going when I came into office. If I had done that, you with all your black emblems and your black supreme wisdom would be saying, thank Allah for the honorable prophet W.D. Muhammad. In fact, you'd make me a god. If I just cater to your ignorance. cater to your ignorance. I'm going to do for you what you don't have the strength to do for yourself. I'm going to love you, brother and sister. God has made my heart to love you. And I don't care how you act, I'm going to love you. And loving you don't mean helping you go down the drain or over cliff. Loving you means saving your life, saving your mind, and saving your heart. That's what loving you means. We got Caucasians in the membership. And even if I die today, I'll be killed today. You will never change this membership. It ain't enough power on earth to change. It's going to stay as Allah has blessed me to make it. And I don't have to be physically here. Because actually, it wasn't my doing. You think I had the knowledge and the power to do what has been done? Almighty God has caused things to happen. He has favored what we were doing. And because of his favors, we have been successful. In the Quran, Moses is grumbling people. When they detected that Moses actually wasn't leading them to a material kingdom, but was leading them to a righteous kingdom, they started grumbling. Look here, we didn't leave Egypt to come out here in no wilderness where there's no gold and roast pork and prime ribs and fine diamond deck chariots, silk, whatnot. We didn't come out here, Moses, for you to make no dirt stoppers out of us. Where is that city you said you were leading us to? They didn't see nothing but wilderness, you know. They had left Egypt. They didn't see those huge monuments, statues, and great palaces anymore. They were out there in the bare, open world. And they got dissatisfied. They look, this man is leading us to starvation. And we thought he was leading us to another Egypt. Holy Quran says that God revealed to Moses, and Moses spoke to them and told them, said, the things that you want are such as garlic, pot greens, and onions, etc. Go to any city and find those things. Isn't that beautiful? That's the same thing I tell you. If what you followed the late leader for was to have some money, Cadillac car, Rolls Royce, Mercedes Benz, chinchilla and mink, diamonds, Superfly heels and hats, go to any ghetto and get your thing. You don't have to stay here and have me make you uncomfortable with this holy teaching. take your foreign matter out of here and go where you have citizenship in any old ghetto. But if you want to restore yourself to the order of civilized society on racial equality with other races, stay here with us. To break the grave ground of slavish mentality, of self-hatred and self-inferiority, don't go back to the black God's lesson. Keep following me. If you want intellectual and moral excellence, stay right here. If you want to become the moral and spiritual leaders of the world and get yourself in a position like that of Joseph, where all things can come unto you, stay here. You're in the right place. But remember, Joseph didn't get those things without some trial. Joseph was stolen and kidnapped, put in the ground in a well, and then sold to another people, to a strange people. Then put in jail in that strange land. But in jail, he proved his worth. And the government say, bring that man out of jail. We want to make him part of the leadership. You almost at that point. I'm not talking about Mr. Andrew Young. I think that's his name. I'm talking about you or me. He just got him a raft bus job. Position of dignity and respect, equality and worth in the American leadership. You almost there if you follow me. But you know, some people that don't deserve the great blessing that God has prepared for them, when they get real close, they fail. And that's the justice of God. Because they've been pulled along. They weren't walking along. They were pulled along. Those that truly believe, they walk along. But those that's just there for selfish things, every time a test comes, they pull back on you. Did you hear what he said about Master Farrar? What do you think about that? Oh, weak chicken nigger. Excuse my language. Excuse my language. When I say nigger, I mean the dummy monster. And false information created along with physical pressure and oppression. It made a dummy monster that shouldn't be classified with men nor beasts. And that's what I mean when I say nigger. Old chicken nigger ain't got enough nerve to say, look, I don't accept his leadership. He's wrong. They won't come out like that. Did you ever hear? Look, I like what he said last month, man. Brother, did you hear what he said about Master Farrar? Who in the hell is Master Farrar? That's right, who is Master Farrar? If he's God, he better hurry up and show up. It's gonna take him a long time now to get his throne back together. He won't have no place to sit. God has given me an army of termites, and I sit them right on his throne. And they just about to get away the last piece of the leg. And he ain't got no throne to sit on. Well, I'm going to follow him as long as he don't talk against Master Farrar. If Master Farrar was wrong, I'm going to talk against him. For his right, he stands. For his wrong, he must fall. And I told you when you accepted me. I didn't fool you. I told you that you can't have no white gods or no foreign gods over you. And that included straight-haired, Caucasian-featured Master Farrar. Out there, they'll tell you and prove it. Jesus has done a lot of good in their lives. But it still doesn't change the fact that Jesus is a Caucasian-looking God in their lives. And whatever Master Farrar has done of good in our lives, it still doesn't change the fact that he took one white image off of us and put another one on us. I know Master Farrar better than I know my own brothers and sisters. Because I have had enough more personal contact with him and more mixing into his mind than I've had with my own flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. And I know that if he was here right now, he would be sitting back there clapping and bearing me witness. Why? Because he knew he did a wrong thing. That's why he'll never show his face. Until I make it possible for him to come out in safety. But to do that, I have to tell the truth, no matter who it be. Again, Master Farrar used us as explosives, as cannon fodder, to do the damage he wanted to do against Christian America. Now, when you use a people as explosive, you take... as explosive, as cannon fodder, to do the damage he wanted to do against Christian America. Now, when you use a people as explosive, you take the risk of destroying them. And look how many of the black gods that have gone and can't be brought back. That was fired out of the cannon of Yaqub's teacher. They're gone and can never come back. They are destroyed. They are destroyed mentally. They are destroyed intellectually. They are destroyed as brothers and sisters. They can't even be brothers and sisters to each other. And the only one that has a possible chance of bringing those people out of their grave that's deeper than any Christian grave any of our people ever were put into is to come through me. Do you hear that? Don't you know that a man that'll tell you to eat one meal a day? Tell you to make your little babies also eat one meal a day? Tell you not to go to movies, don't listen to radio? Don't find nothing fine? Don't store up your money? Now, if he had said, pool your money or store up your money, and save this to put, get yourself in position to have some strength, it would have been great. He said, do this and just wait for the mothership. It's coming and take you away. Now, if that wasn't a Christian church, Sunday school, message given to make you satisfied in what you were put into, tell me what is. Look here, you should be thankful that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had enough sense to see that Master Farad wanted to make us cannon fodder. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, I ain't going to be no cannon fodder. I'll make somebody else cannon fodder, but I'm going to pull the trigger myself. Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw what was happening. And he changed Master Farad's teacher. He made Master Farad God. Master Farad didn't make himself God alone. Master Farad hinted like he was God. What Master Farad suggested was that he was the chief or the supreme among men. And that all men that weren't Caucasian were God. That was his teaching. And he had designed it in such a way that no individual could take it over from him. Why? Because everybody was God. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw what was happening. And he made Farad Muhammad God alone and made himself the messenger of that God and put himself on the throne. And I thank Allah for that Georgia boy. What to do, and he did it on time. When he did it, you know what happened? almost 90% of Master Farah's followers turned against them. Only a very few close people stuck with him. They didn't mind him being minister, first minister like Master Farah called him. They didn't mind him being first minister, or supreme minister. But when he said that Master Farah is like Christ, Jesus, and I'm his apostle, no, they didn't want to hear that. They said, so they told him? I'm going to tell you what they told him. And I might have a few Uncle Tom in here from the first resurrection who got a strong enough spine now after these injections I've been giving them to bear witness to me that I'm telling you the truth. Because there's some right here that know what I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to tell you is the truth. Elijah. They didn't call him Elijah Muhammad. Elijah, you ain't nothing but the minister. Pilate got much as authority as you got. Pilate was a captain. He was a supreme captain. See, all of us are God. You don't tell us. We know what the master taught. They didn't only argue with him, they chased him out of Detroit. And that's how come the headquarters is in Chicago. It's because Master Farah's followers chased Elijah Muhammad out of Detroit. Why did they chase him out of Detroit? Because he said that Master Farah was God in the person, the Almighty. In a sense that they weren't God. And they wouldn't accept that because that was not what they were taught. Elijah Muhammad didn't care. He knew he had the power of circumstances on his side. Not the power of God. He had the power of circumstances on his side. The government looked down on Elijah and said, ooh, this is a sweet thing developing. Elijah has saved the day for us. We don't have to worry about this army of black gods anymore. Elijah's telling them that Farah Muhammad is their God, and he look as white as our Jesus, by God. Hey, look, we're going to have to make a show like we don't want them here. We're going to have to lock them up. Didn't have to lock most of you up who were locked up. Most of you weren't fit for the draft. You had been fasting too long. In the army on the front line, they could have sent a bunch of fish and sisters with no rifles and they would have beat you. Bunch of half-starved brothers and sisters, if they were asked to climb up Mount Fuji, they'd drop dead before they got one-third of the way. Yeah. Weak physically from fasting and eating nothing but bean soup, burnt rice. I'm giving you facts. It sounds like foolishness. It sounds like a story, you know? Sounds like I'm up here just making jokes. These are cold facts I'm giving you. Four brothers went to jail. A lot of them got easy jobs. Man thought he couldn't hardly walk. Knees wobbling. But they were great. Even though they were that blind, that dumb to what was actually happening to them and how they were being used, they were great. Where was their greatness? In their sincerity. They were sincere. Those brothers and sisters back there in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s were sincere. They believed strongly. And God won't punish you if you're sincere. God blessed them and kept them here, protected them, and made it possible for them to live with that knowledge and feel like they were in heaven. Because they were sincere. They actually believed, we actually believed, that Master Farad was the God, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the only voice of God on the land, or in the land. And that when he spoke, anybody else or anybody else said was not to be heard if it differed with what he said. We believed 100%. And for that reason, Allah blessed us. But what good was it now for you to come into that kind of teaching and be used by Master Farad as cannon fodder to weaken the American society, the American Christian society, and to be again tricked by Master Elijah Muhammad to come in a church teaching with black on it as a label? That's what it was. It was a black church. Jesus was replaced with Master Farad. Cross was replaced with the Crescent. And the apostles of Christ were replaced with about our Elijah Muhammad. And your life after death was also just as spooky as theirs. You didn't believe that you'd come back physically, but you believed that some mysterious force was going to make a shortage in the gravity. And America was just going to start bursting in flames. And just before the house started burning up, a ship with about 1,500 garage doors around it. We used to draw it on the board. And World War I bombing planes. We used to draw the bombing planes on the board. They were World War I bombing planes. World War I bomb. That plane was going to come over here just in time and light down and pick you up and take all out the way and leave America here burning. All the white folks, every one of them, babies and all. Those that's in the womb and ain't come out yet, they gonna get it, they gonna burn too. Those who tried to live good and righteous, they gonna burn too. Those who tried to help and love black folks, they gonna burn too. I'm telling y'all, all of us believe. Maybe some of them in Europe will be spared for a while. But in time, the mighty plague would get them and take them down. As we were told, all right, and the mothership come down here, and there'd be fire kids standing on different corners. Let me talk to you a little bit. See, you niggas around here pointing your finger at me saying I'm doing you wrong and tearing up something Elijah Muhammad did, and I'm the best savior you ever had and ever will get. be a scientist standing on each corner. And if you said, Assalamu alaikum, he'll tell you where to go to get on the mothership. But if you didn't know the greetings, you were in trouble. Now, isn't that something? There were a whole lot of old no-good hypocrites and people who never joined us who could give the greetings. But just before that happened, there'd be a warning, you know. The ship's gonna come and drop leaflets. Look! I see they still, some of them out there remember. I didn't know that many of you knew this. Ship's gonna come and drop leaflets, and the leaflets gonna be written in Arabic, English, and Spanish. Poor Indian didn't have a chance. Unless he learned English, Arabic, or Spanish. The leaflet will say, get on to your own time. And what was it? How many days? Yeah, 8 to 10 days. That's all the time you have. After that now, next warning you get will be a siren. And that siren will be so powerful that if the leaflets didn't frighten you and make you want to join, that siren would certainly frighten you. A horrible, thrilling siren. I realized Mama, he was a master, you know. I knew him one time marketing. And it'll be so loud, don't care how far you're in the ground, you hear it. All right. Shatter windows of the house. Say, then the next thing you see is a scientist walking down the street. Say, you'll recognize him. They call there. Have on their fez. And they'll be walking like this. And one will be standing at the corner with his feet on the square like this. A few persons before you get on board. Have you followed and obeyed my apostle Elijah Muhammad? See the same thing. What did the Caucasians say to you? They said that we're going to be asked, have you been a good servant? Is that right? I'm telling you what they used to teach in our community. Black preachers used to tell us that when you die, your soul is going to be taken. And you're going to be asked, were you a good servant? Not just to Jesus, but did you obey your master? I'm telling you what black folks preach in America. And many of them, especially the big ones, when they have a big occasion, like a convention or something, they remind all their people, pray for America. Thank God for the great white man. I'm telling you what black folks used to say Thank God for the great white man and this land, this beautiful land, God's blessed land of democracy. Join me now in prayer, congregation, sisters and brothers. Elsewhere for the United States of America, and that God forever bless this flag. That's what your free preachers used to preach in my lifetime. Master Ron and Master Elijah Muhammad, they saw where the power was, and they duplicated that thing. And just reversed everything. Instead of you being subhuman and a monkey or something, made the Caucasian the monkey and subhuman. Instead of you being the black, the children of the black Satan, and believe me, right now in Christian theology, Satan is called the black angel. Elijah Muhammad, Master Ron Elijah Muhammad, made them the white Satan and you the black God. Just reversed it. Just turned it around on it. I hear him telling me, well, you must admit, I'm saying it before you. You didn't call Master Elijah Muhammad Master. I called him Master. But they tell me, you know, challenging me indirectly. Well, you have to admit.
When you make a decision to become a Muslim, to say there is no God but Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and to become a Muslim and to say I'm a Muslim now, you can't be a Muslim over here in this corner. Muslims are all over the world. So you can't be a Muslim in this corner and go outside. They're going to be Muslims out there. Don't look at you. Say, hey, ain't no real Muslim. That's a corner Muslim. That Muslim is only corner Muslim. And the Muslims of the world are not corner Muslims. They're universal Muslims. So take into account the seriousness of your decision, especially you who are not satisfied with being shortchanged. You want the full measure of what God has created for you. Take serious your decisions. You say you're Muslim, take it serious. I'm a Muslim. Now, what is required of a Muslim? I go to the Quran, I go to the life of Muhammad. Ain't no way for me to get around that. I got to do my best. I got to do my best. Maybe I'm not as great as you, or maybe I'm not as great as the next fellow, or the one that just went behind, came by left. No, I may not be as great as those, but I have to do my best. If I'm going to live with a good conscience, I have to do my best. I can't excuse myself. So forget about this. Forget about that. All I want to do is just pray every now and then. Say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar occasionally, and go and hear the Imam once in a while, and that's enough. Allah knows my heart. That's okay, but get behind us.
Yes, sir.
You're not the one that God wants to carry the work.
Right.
The one that God wants to carry to work are those that accept the full responsibility. And even though they can't measure up, they won't excuse themselves. They never will excuse themselves. They will say, well, brother, I'm not yet, but I'll pray Allah. One day I will. Allahu Akbar. They are never satisfied with their poor performance, their shortcomings. And this is the teaching of the Prophet also.
W.D. Muhammad.
Okay, here we go. This is all 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 here we go.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you.
Okay, so
God's compassion be upon
that,
you. The one soul
because,
of humanity.
Radio,
may
I
we live be
and
thought
so
and
I'm try something else.
On behalf of...
Okay, here it is. I'm getting feedback again. So let me see. Hold on for a second. Let me do it like this. Okay. All right. So this is should work. Okay, that should work. All right. So that there is another part. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to upload it into Blog Talk Radio because Blog Talk Radio has some service error that's going on. So what I was going to try to do, I was going to try to play the third part from my computer, you know, via my speaker. Unfortunately, that didn't work. Okay, but I think there's a couple of things that should be said. Number one, that first let me do this. Let me let you know that I want to open up the microphone of American Muslim 360 and our sister Martha Nyla Williams because she sent me a message earlier to let me know that American Muslim 360 was also tuned into the broadcast, and I just want to give her the greetings and people on American Muslim 360, the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum.
Alaikum Assalam. Peace be upon you, William, and all the listeners. And this is beautiful. Everyone, we are experiencing, I should say experimenting with the block talk connections. And one of the efforts of CWSC is to AM360 through our senior management team, leadership with Latifa Hameen is medium connection. And so every chance that we get that AM360 is not on air with a live host, we will connect with one of our mediums with the similar process going on. And so, of course, A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio is the one. The other is IWCM and Female Solution, alhamdulillah, but we were with Female Solution earlier this morning.
Alhamdulillah, that is wonderful, that is great. And it's important also because, Sister Marbs, I just want, you know, everyone to know that I said that I would get in contact with Mikhail Sahir about the Focolare meeting that is going to be taking place this Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. And I'm getting the information. He hasn't sent it to me yet. Let me just make sure. Mikhail's right here. Right. But I'm getting some information from one of the Focolare members. And I'm going to share that information. I should have it by tomorrow so that we could share the YouTube link that anybody that wanted to, you know, come together and meet with the Focolare and the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, that's what's happening on Sunday. The Focolare community and Imam W.D. Muhammad is supposed to be getting together on Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And, Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. And you can get that, you can connect with them on YouTube. And I will be getting the link and sharing that link so that, you know, we will have that information just in case any of you or if any of your masters, you can share this information with your masters and be believers on American Muslim 360, IDWDM Radio, and we can get together with the Focolare community. They also have a book of Imam W.D. Muhammad and Sister Chiara Lubavitch, the leader of the Focolare community. They had a great relationship together. But all that information, you know, will be together on Sunday, May 5th, which is this Sunday, at 2 p.m. Okay, so, and the YouTube link, inshallah, will be made available. I should have it by tomorrow, but as soon as we get it, we will be sharing it, you know, right here on A New Day for our Islam Community Radio, and we'll also make sure that we get that information to American Muslim 360. Yeah, so that's where we're at today. I did want to say something about, you know, what we've been listening to, Imam W.D. Muhammad. It's important for everybody to understand that this was a very critical time in Nation of Islam history. It was critical. We're talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad coming into leadership in 1975. 2 years later, this presentation takes place, 1977. And he's dropping bombs about what is going on in the Nation of Islam that a lot of people didn't even know about. So there was a lot of truth that was being told. Now, many of you that were in the Nation of Islam, like myself and Mark Shaheed, and I know Sister Martha, she came in around that time, and Brother Muhammad Sharif and others, you know that, you know, these were bombs being dropped. The covers had been pulled off. The cabbage had been peeled back, you know, whatever. You know, this was letting us know what was really going on with, you know, the Nation of Islam and it was good. It was a good thing that it happened. Now, this is 47 years later. We're talking about 2024, 47 years later. We are listening to this, and it's letting us know where we've come from. And right now, we're on the Sunnah path of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's where we're at now. You know, I mean, there has been such a great improvement as far as this is concerned. A great improvement. And I thought it was just, you know, really kind of important to say that, you know. Because, I mean, I was really feeling this situation that Imam W.D. Muhammad was talking about. And, and you heard what he was saying. He said, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. He didn't know, because he was exposing so much that the possibility existed that somebody that may have been part of the Nation of Islam said, well, I don't like what you were saying. You know, like, you know, I'm going to take you out. That was a possibility, and that's why he said it like that. I mean, can you imagine? And he said, you know, like he was calling members of the FOI. He was calling them sissies and exposing things. I mean, that's what we come from. But that's not where we're at today, And we should thank Allah for Imam W.D. Muhammad. We should thank Allah for our whole journey. And the journey is continuing. The journey that we are on is continuing. That's what's going on. I remember when I came into the Nation of Islam that Minister Louis Farrakhan would speak on WWRL, that they had a hookup, and it was and at that time it was a wired hookup that they had, and Brother Wayne was in charge of that. I remember that. And it was a big thing. That, you know, Minister Farrakhan, you know, would be able to speak to the people on WWRL radio program, which was an AM radio program. You know, that had happened. And I mean, that was technology at that time. That's what it was. But that's what, you know, like we came into. But now look at us. We're able to speak with each other today. Look how far in advance the advancement that we have as far as being able to speak to each other is concerned, that we are able to share. Imam W.D. Muhammad speaks on the Lord's Foundation of Islam, to pull up a speech from 1977 and then be able to, share it with people. That's big. That's nothing small about that. So, you know, may Allah continue to bless us in this effort that we have. And like I said, the Folklore community meeting is going to be on Sunday. And if Jamal Dean Bilal is online and if you wanted to say something about the Muslim Journal, you could just wait till Monday. You know, but I just wanted to give you that opportunity and press one on your phone. And Sister Martha, if you have anything that you'd like to say or any of the listeners on American Muslim 360, plus one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue because we got a couple of minutes left in the program. We also have this, we still have problems with Blog Talk Radio, as it's not only New Day Community Radio, but American Muslim 360, but we're finding ways to get around that. The problems that Blog Talk Radio is having. And we are going to create a list. We have lists of telephone numbers, and we're going to either create an email or a text message to be able to send text messages to our listeners to let them know that there is another telephone number that we can listen to. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be Blog Talk Radio. If it can't be Blog Talk Radio, then we do have some options. That's the important part. And one of those options is this is the telephone number, 971-379-9162. That's 971-379-9162. That's going to be our alternative number, 971-379-9162. That's going to be our alternative number. And we are working on finding ways to come together as a community so that we can speak with each other, keep each other informed, and talk about, you know, what's going on in the world today. There are many things that we could talk about, especially as far as the Palestinian situation is concerned. We can talk about that. I just want you to know that there's fitna that's actually starting to happen as far as these demonstrations are concerned. Because what winds up happening when you're trying to have a peaceful march or you have a peaceful what winds up happening is somebody comes in and always – takes it to the extremes, takes it too far. You know, what happened in Columbia University as far as them breaking into the building, you know, that wasn't done with the peaceful demonstrators. I'm going to tell you, that was done with somebody trying to bring fitna into it. That's what that was about, so that they could tarnish the good that was being done. That's what happened at Columbia University. Then there was a University of California where they had these peaceful demonstrators, and then people came in and with clubs and trying to start a fight with the peaceful demonstrators. This is what happens when they had the Black Lives Matter movement. It was a peaceful demonstration, and what they did is they had these provocateurs come in, okay, and just try to cause fitna, try to cause chaos, okay, so that they could tarnish the good and take away from the good that people were trying to do. So just stay aware, stay alert. This is what, you know, the jinn is. This is what Shaitan does. This is what Shaitan does to tarnish the good. Always, that is always the situation that happens with Shaitan. And we just have to basically stay aware of that. We have to stay aware of that and continue down the path of the good. And look, listen, this is not the first time that this has happened. We should know that because we saw what happened with the George Floyd situation. It happened with Black Lives Matter situation. It happened with the Me Too. You know, it happened in Charlottesville. Remember Charlottesville? Okay. Remember Charlottesville? What happened in Charlottesville? So it always happens, you know, some kind of way, this kind of situation kind of happens. And so we should stay vigilant and aware of it. And not allow these negativities to take us off the focus and the path of what we're trying to accomplish as good people. 973-14-833, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Alaikum assalam to you, William Kareem, and to your very distinguished radio listener audience there, a new day for Al-Islam. Community Radio, Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis and Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And I just want to it can't be underscored what you said. This is not something new. I think that what also has to be done to distinguish and for people to differentiate what I call infiltrators. Whenever there have been a good cause, a peaceful march, and we also have to say this is the constitutional rights of American citizens. This is, to right to voice their choice and express themselves in a peaceful, responsible way, a peaceful and a responsible way. But generally what happens is infiltrators, you know, when you were in St. Louis years ago, that was a situation that was happening here in the STL.
And
the same thing happened. It was a peaceful demonstration. But you have what I call I term them as opportunistic people, seizing to take the opportunity for evil intent in terms of rioting and looting. You and I can go back to the 60s. Was the same strategy by those who had ill will and then had evil intention? Did they infiltrate the peaceful protest marches and everything? Yes. And so what happens is that the media, mainstream media, you know this as well as I do, William, they pick up on the violence, the rioting, the looting, and everything, and make it though that it personifies the peaceful movement or the peaceful march and everything, that this is a constitutional right of all citizens. And so, as you say, tarnish, it denigrates what the real niya, the real intention is to have focus on. So I think that those that are a part of the peaceful marches, which is your constitutional right, you have to really point these people out. And there should be persons that actually, representatives as spokesmen, and I would say those would be the persons that are the organizers of these peaceful marches that you're entitled to in terms of expressing yourself in a peaceful, responsible way, to inform the media what has transpired. And these people have joined in, and you point those people out, you understand, that they are not a part of this peaceful march that we have. And so the irresponsible acts of them is not a part of the peaceful organization marches that we have. So that way there's a you're actually differentiating in terms of what the motive is for the peaceful organized marches that are responsible in that regard. So you're absolutely on point. I think a little bit more has to be done in regards to that, and you have to have those who organize and representatives actually be spokesmen for, you know, you always look, you know, even in crime, they look for what they call the motive, you know, the motivation, what's the motive in terms of doing. They actually learned that from the religion of Al-Islam. You know, when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a Sahih Hadith, he said all actions and in all actions and all matters are judged by your niya, by your intention. They look for intentions and motives for things, whether they are good or bad. What is intended and what motivate the people to do this or that, even if it's homicide, genocide, suicide.
There's an observation that I've made, Mark, regarding this, and I know that, well, you know what, you know, because you can't see it, you know, I'm going to say it to other people, because, Mark, I just want you to understand what people are doing. What they're doing is they're wearing face masks, you know, that was made in the COVID, and then they're putting on hoods.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
So it's difficult to
identify.
Exactly.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
And this is the norm today, Mark, especially the demonstrators. Most of the demonstrators have masks on, the COVID masks. Most of them, or they have the scarf pulled over their nose and their mouth, so that they can't be identified.
Okay.
On the front page of the New York Post, they had a picture of a person that had on the mask. He had the hood on, and then he had on these big bifocals, and he was of European descent.
Wow!
Now, the question becomes, what kind of provocateur was this? Was this somebody who was representing the Palestinian side, or was this somebody that had come in to disrupt on the Hebrew side? The only thing that you could identify is the bifocals, the face, the color of the face. But you couldn't even identify whether they were students at the school or not. That's what's going on today.
But and thank you for letting me know that. No, because I'm not able to actually see that. But to your point, then I still think it's incumbent that those who are organizers the citizen right that we have here in America to be able to, that's a freedom of expression in a peaceful, responsible way, it still has to be pointed out that they are infiltrators, even though to the point that you're making, then not able to identify. And from what I'm gathering that you're saying, these are the people, you know, that's bringing about the fitna, if you will, in terms of purposely igniting chaos and disturbance and violence and all of this, that obviously mainstream media is going to pick up on that, and that's what's going to be promoted to the American populace and even around the world, you know, in that regard. So to keep that,
The other part with it, Mark, is this, is that there's so much media out there that the demonstrators, the peaceful demonstrators, are also covering up their identity.
Really?
Because they, nobody wants to be recognized today.
Oh, man.
Everybody's, you know, doing it because there's so many cameras around. It's the January 6th situation. That in the January 6th situation,
they were able to capture a lot of them on camera because identity and terms they face. But you know what? Wouldn't have that, maybe say the opportunity, unless it was something that was local. But if I was addressing those, you understand, going back to our base and our platform, that if, in fact, you got good intention and good motivation and your objective is to peacefully express your thoughts and feelings and opinions about the disposition of the American government, which we American citizens, we have to see ourselves as that, as my good brother that you had on, that authored the book in that regard, Brother Kareem Abdul-Haq. When you had him on, that you don't cover up your face. Because now you're doing basically what those who have ill will and intent and motivation to, like you say, tarnish the peaceful march, a responsible march that you structured and organized to bring the attention to that. And now the whole focus.
Oh wow! I wound up cutting Mark off. I didn't mean that. I cut Mark off. I hope he calls back in. But let me take this call from 97 Ishmael. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Walaikum assalam. I just wanted to add to the conversation, and I believe back in the day when you was part of like a group. You had to have, like, get a card and go to classes and all that kind of stuff to let you know the do's and don'ts when you're marching and protesting. And I say that because what has happened was that with these groups where the police were, roughing the students and protesters up, they said they heard anti-Semitic slurs. And then it turned out that the slurs were being said by the people that were supporting Israel. So any little thing can happen to throw you off, and they'll be like, oh, we're sorry, but the damage has already been done, so we have to be real careful when we're out there to be strategic in whatever we do, especially when there's somebody opposing you, to be able to weed out people and things of that nature. So that's all I wanted to add.
Well, yeah, but you know what, Mark, I apologize for, you know, some kind of reason, that was me. But look, let me, Ishmael, right now we're getting ready to go into warmer weather. And I know here, and I don't know how it is there in Texas, but here in New York,
all these young people are wearing hoods. They
wow.
wear hoods. I mean, and they wear hoods because cameras are all over the place. And, it has just become a fashion statement that, that these young people don't feel comfortable if they don't have a hood. Do you see that in Texas, in your situation in Texas?
Yeah, I have seen that where the hoodies, where they no longer let the students wear hoodies in school anymore. They can't wear hoodies because it's everywhere now. They wear hoods everywhere, but I think it gets too hot here, so they don't really wear them as much in the summer, but they believe it. If they could, they would. But it gets extremely hot, so that kind of discourages them from doing it.
There's probably not as much cameras in the Houston area as there is in New York. Is that would that be a fair statement?
I think it would be fair. I think it would. It's not as many, but there's most definitely cameras in the quote unquote hood areas for sure. That they got the infrared cameras. They got the daylight cameras. So, once you go to certain areas, the cameras are there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hold on for a sec. We want to take this telephone call from 347-769. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Jamila. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm so glad you know my number by now. Learn the last 4 digits. Jamila, I want to say that y'all should go to the Zaytch of Islam and learn the definition of anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic is not a curse word. It just means part of one thing and part of another, semi. And they don't around like it's a curse word. We are, for us to be anti-Semitic, we have to be against our own self. But we are the Semitic people. We are part of one thing and part of another. And as far as them hoodies ain't hiding nothing. They got cameras that can turn your face around and see who the heck you are. So I don't know if these young people think they're getting away. They are not getting away. That's why they catch anybody to do anything. Because the cameras have turned your face around and see who you are. For real. I have a cousin who worked in law enforcement for 25 years, a nephew who's a police officer, a brother-in-law who's a police officer. Those people tell me things. So, come on now. It should be peaceful protesting and infiltrators. They're going to be infiltrating to the end of time. They infiltrated and killed Jesus Christ. They infiltrated and killed Malcolm X. That's the nature of the people. And as far as protesting, we've been protesting since the Vietnam War, since I was alive back in the day. Muhammad Ali wasn't going to kill somebody he had no beef with. So come on now, and they over there killing children, babies and stuff. And what did the Quran say? The child that you killed is going to ask for what crime was she murdered? And we just have to keep up the prayers. And me too, Jamila. You have to pray. Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Jamila. Yeah. So Mark, what was it you wanted to say?
Yeah, what Sister Jamila, I think she make a very valid point, and Brother Ishmael also. But if I had the opportunity to speak to young people, and the college campuses, the discussion you had yesterday, you brought it up, William, which is true. This is not the first time that we're seeing this initiative taken by the young people that's coming into their own in terms of being free thinkers, having a sense of right and wrong, what is just, what is unjust in regards to that, and actually expressing it. I think we have to say that to them because when something becomes a fad or a trend and everything that's not good, it can be mistaken, and we know that the media is very influential, especially mainstream media in this country, where it can be twisted. And then those people who are seeking not to be identified, regardless of whether it's in Houston, is a big city, it's the largest city in Texas. I know it's in the top 10 in terms of population-wise, it wouldn't matter pretty much today, unlike yesteryears. Cameras are everywhere. A lot of the things in terms of even the violence in terms of policemen that may have been formerly or still skinheads of Ku Klux Klan or whatever were able to get away with things yesteryear that couldn't be caught on camera. But it's hardly any place now in the continental USA, and especially in your major cities, where cameras are all over. I mean, even your telephone is a camera as far as that
right,
goes.
Right, but now, see, this is where the disadvantage goes because, you know, especially with young people, again, young people know that there are cameras all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've heard about these mob ratings, the mob they do the mob ratings of Target and Walgreens and all of these different stores where they all come together. They have on hoodies and face masks, and they think that they're getting away. And most of the time they do get away. They come in and they make all these thieves. They do this thieving, and then after doing this thieving, it's just got to the point where, you know, the stores say, well, that's it. You know, we're just going to close down. Because because the police is not the police are not capable of doing anything about it. But this disguise, is the point.
Well, I agree with you on that, William. But I would say, you know, and I probably never get an opportunity. But those who would have the opportunity to address young people, and especially when they on the right track and doing the right thing, you know, it's very, very important that you just don't follow the trend, what is popular, without understanding that it can be misconstrued, twisted, as you say. I don't know if that's still a term that young people say in terms of how they're looked upon. Because if you got infiltrators, let's say the organizers are young people, okay? But if they're, it's the same. This is a good analogy. If a woman didn't dress modestly and didn't think that she could be beautiful dressing modestly, but she dressed like a lady of the night, a hooker, you know, a prostitute, well, she could be mistaken for that, even though she would not be a hooker or a prostitute. You see, and the other word they call the H word, I won't use that, but you know what it is. But you have that look as though you're selling your body. The same thing here in terms of the same thing here.
You're using the H word, Bob. What about the W word?
Okay, well, the W word too. Well, we can include all of that. But you know, and I know, and I know Ishmael is probably still on. He knows, and our listeners,
all
you know, in
the
hood, that's what's used more in that regard. But in fact, my point being, if a woman were to dress like that, she could be mistaken for being one because of just the dress. Now, that doesn't, in terms of harassment and assault and everything, that's no vindication for that. I'm not saying that. But you're presenting yourself like that. And this is what young people have to understand, that when you're standing up for what is right and what is just, you know, it's very important that you're not only your dress, when you are dressing something, but your dress should not reflect the dress of those persons that actually have ill intent and motivation in what it is they do, because that can be twisted, and oftentimes it is twisted, and the focus is off of the fact you're standing up for people, you understand, where a genocide, mass genocide is actually happening, and you're standing up for what is right and the type of disposition that our country should have in regards to that. So this is, in fact, a peaceful protest, but a responsible protest. But if you're looking like those that infiltrate, who can tell, who can differentiate? And, of course, the media, when they got the big cameras, if there's rioting and looting, just like when you was in St. Louis, that was actually happening. But it was not ones that you understand that organized it because of the unjust treatment and the homicide happened.
It should be understood that there's a certain amount of time that has passed that the college students have made their point about standing for the Palestinian cause. That is something that it, you know, whether it's for the last 2 weeks, that was a message that young people have sent out to mainstream media, and the government has gotten the message now. And now, since that has happened, and since it's being seen that the young people are not agreeing with the current administration's position as far as supporting Israel, now what has happened is they're saying, oh my gosh, they're getting too much positive. The Palestinian situation is getting too much positive view. Because this information has gone all over the world. So now here they come with the provocateurs.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I want to say this. What happened with President Obama when he was running for presidency, and a lot of people, this is overlooked or looked over, he introduced, in terms of campaigning, something that was very revolutionary. Whereas they could do a projection in terms of how people would vote. But what President Obama, who was not president when he ran the first time back in 2008 and became president then, he utilized the young people, the college students, that traditionally, oftentimes, that was not so as politically engaged to the point where they voiced their choice with vote. And that's something that they couldn't predict how much influence and impact, but he used that. And not only did he win, because a friend of mine talked politics all the time, he asked me, do you think old Obama would have be able to become president? And my answer, because he respected me in my political perspective, I said, not only do I think that he's going to become president, but it ain't going to even be close. And he said to me, you're out of your blankety-blank mind, Mark Shaheed. Now, I have a lot of respect for you, but you said that. But I was able to see something that he wasn't able to see, and I was able to see the social climate of the country at large in regards to that. And I said, if there ever was the right opportunity for an African American to become president of the United States, it was at that time because of the social and economical status of the country. So what I'm saying is that, yes, they take all that consideration, because that's how President Obama, you understand, not only won, but he won hands down because of his engagement with those that was first-time voters and got them to vote and everything and made it a landslide, in terms of that now the Biden administration is looking at that. I'm just bringing this as a point to put on the table. And they are looking at that, and they're like, oh, my God. And they see that they will potentially lose those supporters that generally would vote Democratic, but they're not pleased. And for those who said no way, and I've heard it on various blog talk programs, no way can Donald Trump get to become president. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. Now, he's being advised by his strategist, but you know Donald Trump has a way in terms of not listening to people. But I can't remember who was the last person that was in the race that was a female Republican. If he would ask her to be his running mate.
So, Mark, are you saying that it's possible for Donald Trump to become president?
Oh, absolutely, Absolutely.
You got to be on your, you gotta,
yeah,
you
I know,
go,
yeah. You know what? That's what my friend told me. His name was Maurice. That's,
exactly,
that's what he told me. That's
it.
What he told
that's
me.
Exactly,
and listen, that's what he told me. He, Allah is my witness. I don't have any witnesses, but Allah is my witness. I would not use Allah's name in vain. He told me I was out of my blankety-blank mind. But guess what? But guess what? You probably have to bear witness to this. How many times did you hear after Barack Hussein Obama became president the first time, how many times did you hear this? I never thought I would ever see that in my lifetime. I never thought I would.
Well,
I heard that so many times because it was unbelievable. But
the
I'm not endorsing him. Now, that's don't
no,
get it
no,
twisted.
I, yeah, but I'm just saying that the problem with that is to even think it, Mark. To even think it, it would be bad for black people. Period.
Well, it would be bad for the whole country.
If he gets in here, it would be bad for the whole country. But in particular, it would be horrible for black people. So don't even think that thought.
Well, William, you're a former member of the Nation of Islam. So, you know, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for us, it didn't matter because it never changed our position.
True.
Our position.
That's
we
true.
Had to do something for ourselves, regardless of whether that was a Democratic president or was a Republican president in that regard. And I thank Allah, you understand, for having that type of mindset
true.
And disposition.
Yeah.
I think that for African-American people, since you brought that up, it's like now how many times have you heard? I mean, how many times have you heard? You probably stopped counting. I know I did a long time ago. In this particular race, that you will have to choose between the less of the two evils. I mean, you hear Muhammad Sharif comes on. He's making a very valid point in regards to both of them. Okay? So,
You can't judge, you know. You can't. I like. There's so many things that a government has to take care of. And yeah, this thing, as far as you know, this one thing is something that is a big problem for the governmental administration. However, there are many more positive things that have actually gone down, and I think that's what young people are seeing. That they see. There are a lot of positive things going on. It's not just this one thing.
But the protest is for this. Okay, what can be? I'm just asking a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you personally. But
right.
What could be more important than human life or saving human life? Matter of fact, our beloved leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, actually on Muslim Journal was Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. Just think about that, those words. Just think about that, for human salvation, to save the human being. Now, are there other important things that's going on and happening? Yes, I agree 100%. But what could be more important than saving human life? And then when we look at it worldwide, oh, that ain't none of us. But that's not us, because we do have a bad homicide rate. I would love to see the statistics in terms of America compared to other countries when it comes to homicide. But look at genocide, and then we say, oh, we have become desensitized as human beings, but that ain't none of us. Yeah, they're killing innocent people there. I know that. They're killing women. Yeah, they're killing the elderly. Yeah, they're killing babies and even destroying the infrastructure there and all of that. But you guess what? That's those Palestinian people. That's not us. Well, the shaitan would love for us to become so desensitized. But what does Allah say in the Quran? To kill one human being is like killing all of human beings. To save one human being is like saving all of humanity. Mark Shahid,
you know, another thing that Allah has said the other part that we have to take notice of,
yes.
Especially as far as Imam W.D. Muhammad is concerned,
it was Imam W.D. Muhammad that made us aware. I know, maybe I should just speak for me, but he made a statement, and he said that we can sit in our living room on our couch and watch and know what's going on in other parts of the world.
Absolutely. I remember,
you remember that?
I've been witness.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
But he told the truth.
But I'm saying that to say, Martin. Well, we got a couple of minutes left in the program, but, you know, I got to go ahead and call the Adon.
Okay.
I got a couple of minutes. But yeah, go ahead, Martin. I'm going to let you say this other thing, and then I'm going to call the Adon.
I mean, I think, William, you and I, we really agree on this. But the last thing I want to say, that if Donald Trump does not get elected, we may be looking at another potential civil war. I'm on record for saying that. I'll stop there.
Oh, wait a minute, Mark. You just said that if Donald Trump doesn't get elected,
You might be looking at in America for another civil war happening in this country. Yes.
The only civil war that's going to happen is the Mark. That's not going to happen, man. You could get that, man. You know,
I know you think that's outlandish what I just said, but I'm on record.
It is outlandish. That's not going to happen, man.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, Mark.
We'll revisit that later on in the year. If that you're saying
peace
that he can't. You on record for saying he can't win. No way can Donald Trump win. You on record for saying
no,
he can't win.
No,
I'm saying that there's a great possibility that he can win. And if he doesn't,
and
then I'm on record for saying if he doesn't,
then, you know that there's a possibility. So I'm sure about what I'm saying. I'm sure.
Well, Allah says never say.
I didn't talk to Allah about it. Okay,
okay.
I didn't read the sign. Not only that, Mark. The other part is that I've kept this in my prayer. Oh Allah, please make America peace. Go, Allahu Akbar. Please.
Allahu Akbar.
Keep Allahu Akbar too.
He became president. Look, Hillary Clinton beat him on the popular vote, right? But because they have set up in terms of electoral college, I think I would love to be able to, I can't read, but I would love to be able to read his memoirs. Because I think deep down inside that if Trump was honest, I don't even believe that he thought that he could become president. So that
Electoral College is a very important thing, even though he didn't get the popular vote. Administration that turned against him. You see all the people that is his whole government, Donald Trump's whole government turned against him.
But if you could answer the question for me, and this is something for the marinade in your mind, how is it that he is representing the Republican Party now? They can't produce
because
a better candidate than him? Come on now.
With
all these indictments? Oh, that's
of
dangerous,
they
brother.
Could have, but the problem is that the senators and the congressmen were the ones that supported him, and that's why he's in the situation. He had some followers, but the ones that were most important was the senators and the congressmen that continued to follow.
I differ with you on that because he set a record for an incoming president that actually lost the election to Biden in terms of the amount of people. He's only one person, but the people have spoken. Now, I question, and you have to question, you understand, why would somebody vote for Donald Trump? There's a lot of people
here in this country. The country hasn't changed. Racism. They want to see a white man in there. They want to see a white man in there, man. You know, that's what it is. But Mark, yeah, we gonna go ahead and call you Don.
And
I'm just saying, Mark.
To be continued.
Yeah. And okay. Oh, I will just say this, Mark, and to everybody else, please pray that America stays at peace. Please pray that Donald Trump doesn't get in. You know, Allah will hear our prayer. And take into consideration that our peace may be disrupted if we put that person in. Okay.
It's going to be disrupted anyway it goes. Trust me. Those people are waiting to expose.
I ain't trusting that, Mark. I ain't going to trust that. I ain't trusting that, Mark. Anyway, I'm going to give the last word, you know, before I get off to Mark Finala Williams. As-salamu alaykum. Did you have anything you wanted to say, American Muslim 360?
Yes, I say that the whole world needs to turn to prayer. That's CWST's plight. For the 50-year human family strategic planning, right now, everyone in your homes, wherever you are, pray. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Okay.
I agree.
Here we go.
About prayer, the power of prayer.
I got 21 seconds left, and I'm going to tell you, the dawn is going to cut off before, but it's going to cut off.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Well, dear listeners, we're going to play the Adhan here. It went off on a new day for Al-Islam worldwide. A new day for Al-Islam community radio. We're going to play the Adhan here on AM 360. Praise be to Allah. One moment.
Dealing with the coronavirus, a lot of people don't want you touching their product.
I thought this was done. Hold one moment. Okay.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا لا إله
Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum, prayer time. Thank you so kindly. And do join us today, today being Wednesday. Join us at 5 p.m. for Halal Industries Do For Self with Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. That's 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Assalamu alaikum.